We will continue it this morning and ask God for patience and forbearance to sit yet a while. We heard how important it is to be able to hear God's word and how precious it is. But you know, when you have a lot of something, you lose your taste for it. If sometimes you have a little taste of something that you enjoy, and a long time passes before you have a chance to taste of it again, it tastes good. But if you have it in plenty every day, you soon lose your taste for it. That's how it is naturally, and it is that way also spiritually. We come here Sunday after Sunday and we sit down to hear God's word. And how often do we come with a prayer in our hearts that, Lord, speak to my heart, open the door of thy word to those who speak, and let that word reach my very heart and soul, and make known what is thy will toward me. Or are we like little children often, that when mother sets the table and prepares something, and she has spent a lot of time cooking and preparing the food and set the table and put some food on their plate, they take a mouthful and they run off. And then after a while, when table has cleared and food is put away, they come back and they're hungry. They want something to eat. We often are like little children, aren't we, that we, when the opportunity is there, that we don't avail ourselves of it. Or we don't realize how important and how blessed it is, because we have something in abundance. Remember Korhonen speaking about their trip to Russia, when they visited a certain church that was in ruins. And maybe I've told you that before, but it didn't have a roof on it over the church like we have here. And neither did it have windows, but just holes or openings where the windows had been. So it was just a masonry brick building. It was all that was left of it. And it was cold. I believe it was about February. And there was snow on the ground. And of course there was snow also in the church, scattered on the ground where they stood. And there was no place to sit like you have today, place to sit in comfort and warmth, because there was no warmth, there was no comfort. And he, as well as the others who preached there, had to have their overcoats on, their warm clothing on to keep warm and bundled, and they sang the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And he said he had never heard that hymn sung so beautifully and with such vibrancy and power as he did then. It came from hearts that truly appreciated and thanked God. And they had no qualms about having to stand there in the cold to hear the word of God, because they were able to hear God's word. Having 70 some years of denial of having that freedom to gather around God's word, they were thankful for the opportunity that God had provided. We will read a portion of scripture you will still bear with me, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, the last part of that chapter, beginning with verse 36, no doubt a familiar account that we read in Jesus' name. And when one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Amen. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Here we have an account of one of the many that we find recorded in the time that Jesus spent here upon this earth, and the various people that he was with, many different hearts that he encountered. And so it is even today that there are many different hearts, many different types of hearts and souls conditions that people are in. And in any assembly or gathering of people, certainly there are various hearts conditions. There are those who find themselves to be sinners, who have no merit or worthiness or nothing to present to God but sin. And there are others who have much merit or worthiness that they can present to God and even thank God for being able to live such a good and respectable life. And what makes the difference between these people, these various different kinds of people, and when and how are they distinguished one from the other? We find here that There was one man who was able to distinguish between their hearts and whose visit, whose acquaintance with them separated them. Here is a Pharisee And here is a sinful woman, and then there's Jesus. All three in the same house. Consider with me the situation, first of all. There is a Pharisee, and we know what the Pharisees are like. They are described in the scripture as self-righteous. They are outwardly holy. They stand on the street corners and in the synagogues and pray loud and long prayers. They pray unto God with upraised arms and lift their voices unto God in heaven, and they are not one bit ashamed of their outward piety or holiness that they present and demonstrate wherever they are. And then there is a sinful woman who is known to be a sinner. Her very life was such that she couldn't hide her sinful life. And what a difference, just the opposite. When would it be possible that this sinful woman would be in the same house as Pharisee? That they would be together in the same place. In the same house, because she was a sinful woman and known to be a sinful woman, she certainly would not have been acceptable or accepted in the house of this Simon the Pharisee in the first place if she were to ask him, "Can I come to visit to your house?" Because he indicated here already his feelings toward her when he told Jesus that if Jesus knew what kind of woman this is, that she's a sinner, if he was a prophet, then he would know that she's a sinner who is touching him and certainly wouldn't have anything to do with him, with her. It is quite unlikely that we would find this woman in the same place as Simon the Pharisee. But because Jesus is there, then the picture is quite different. And certainly the situation is changed drastically, and the results and the happenings that are there are certainly only because Jesus is there. In this world there is a saying that you are to make a difference. Sometimes we hear that, to make a difference. And the stress and the emphasis is put upon you as an individual that you have to do something with your life and make something good of your life and make a difference, whatever that means. But there's only one who makes a difference in our life, and that is Jesus. He's the only one that can make a difference. Outwardly, we have a Pharisee who is outwardly holy and respectable and honorable, an honorable citizen. When the Pharisees go by, people just turn around and look at them and in awe probably and respect when a Pharisee walks by. That there goes one of those holy people. And if someone like the sinner walks by, would they even cast a look? And if they did, it certainly wouldn't be the same way that they would look upon the Pharisee walking by. But within their hearts and before God, there is no difference. There is absolutely no difference between them. There may be much difference outwardly in the outward sense, but inwardly within their hearts there is no difference. In their minds and in their thoughts there is a difference, certainly. Because this Pharisee, in his mind, he thought, that this woman is a sinner, and here is Jesus who claims to be a prophet, and certainly he ought to be able to see that she is a sinner. Why have anything to do with her? This is what he thought. But his thoughts were not hidden from Jesus. His innermost heart is not hidden, but it is made known. And that is all that makes the difference. Jesus knows and sees into our hearts as he did this woman. Isn't it amazing that he would take the invitation and go to sit at meat in a Pharisee's house? How many of you would accept that invitation? If you were invited to go to a Pharisee's house for a meal, would you go? Or would you perhaps politely refuse and say, I'm afraid I can't come. But in your mind, in your thoughts, you would say, well, who wants to be found in a Pharisee's house? People might think I'm a Pharisee if I would be sitting in the house of a Pharisee and accept an invitation from them. But Jesus went and he sat down at meat. It doesn't mean that now we are to take example from this and go anywhere and feel free to go anywhere and just melt in with any kind of crowd that there is. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. Remember that Jesus still remains Jesus. His word still remains the same wherever he is, in whatever situation. He does not put on a different appearance or any different airs. He doesn't act any differently whether he's sitting in the house of a Pharisee or whether he is sitting at the well with a sinful Samaritan woman or with his disciples around the communion table. Jesus does not speak any differently or act any differently. How about us? Have you been invited to a place where you have gone and you know there's all kinds of people, going to be many different kinds of hearts and people of different backgrounds and so forth, and do you try to kind of adjust yourself and maybe hide the fact that you are a Christian and what your real convictions are? Try to get along as much as possible and melt in and assimilate whatever the atmosphere of the crowd might be. Or do you do as Jesus did when he went into the house of Simon, a Pharisee? That he spoke and acted just like Jesus would in any situation. He spoke the truth. And he did not hide the fact of what his real heart's desire and condition is toward any man. This woman, and what drew her to a Pharisee's house in the first place? She was drawn there because Jesus was there. What kind of thoughts did this woman have in her heart when she knew that Jesus in the house of a Pharisee? She certainly knew that she was not acceptable there for who she was and what she was. But there was Jesus there. And that was a stronger drawing power than anything else for her heart, because there was a need in her heart that could not be satisfied by anyone else but by Jesus. She was a sinner and she needed help, and there was help to be found, even though it was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, but it was the opportunity because Jesus was there. And she came and stood at his feet weeping. She didn't hide her feelings either, or deny the fact that she was a sinner. But she came and began to weep. Have you sometimes thought of that there are matters on your conscience, maybe that you would want to repent of, and you see another Christian, but you look around at the situation and, well, this is not a time or place to talk about those kind of things. So you kind of hide your feelings and you wish that you would be in a better situation or environment than you are. But there is the opportunity. There is another child of God. And in all reality, there is Jesus. And you have sins, and you have matters on your heart and conscience to take care of. And the opportunity is there. Do you avail yourself of it in spite of where you are? If the need is great enough, it doesn't matter where you are, or who sees, or who knows about it. If the need is there, then that's all that matters, because Jesus is there, and the opportunity to avail yourself and make known your heart's condition unto him. That's what this woman felt in her heart. We heard of the accusation of the enemy of the soul, how he accuses God's children. Is he in this situation that we just read about here? He most certainly is. Where is he in this situation? Where is he in this story? The accuser of God's children, who accuses them both day and night. Is he in the thoughts of this Pharisee who looks at this sinful woman and says, if Jesus were indeed a prophet, he would know that she is a sinner? Is he also in the thoughts of this sinful woman that certainly this is not a time and place for you to talk to Jesus? You'll have to wait until a better opportunity comes around. He was there too. That's how the enemy of the soul, the accuser of God's children, accuses them day and night. Every opportunity he uses. When the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, this man, if he were a prophet. What he was saying is that he is not a prophet. That's what this if indicates. If he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. He wouldn't have anything to do with her. But Jesus answering said unto him, now he was talking in his own mind, in his own thoughts. But what a man is thinking, they are like shouts, and they may as well be shouting from the housetops unto God in heaven, because God hears them. He knows them. He knows the very thoughts and intents of the hearts. That's how God's word is, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the piercing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how God's word is. And Jesus is that word. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Everyone that is here, even this morning, he discerns your thoughts. And he knows what they are as you sit and listen to God's word. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, say on. What do you think that Simon expected Jesus to say? I agree with you. I don't think this woman should be here, so we should send her away so that we can carry on our visit and our meal without hindrance from her, for she is there weeping and she certainly is disturbing this situation. Maybe that's what he expected Jesus to say unto her. He certainly didn't expect Jesus, or to him, to say what he did. So he said, say on. Then Jesus began to speak a parable, as he often did. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And reason would say, the more you give, the more meaningful, or more you receive, the more meaningful it might be. She was given, one was forgiven more, and the other, when certainly he loved more. I suppose, he said, that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now let's place this judgment, go with this judgment a little bit further, Jesus says unto this Simon the Pharisee. You have rightly judged. Remember how David was treated when he fell into sin with Bathsheba, he fell into adultery, and Nathan came. Nathan came there with the Spirit of God, and he placed the situation also before David, how a man had many sheep and he had visitors, and this poor man had one ewe lamb that he cared for, was like unto a daughter unto him, and he loved her, and rather than taking one of his own flocks and herds, he took this poor man's own single lamb and used that as a sacrifice, and he prepared a meal for this guest. And David also rightly judged. For he said, the man that had done so is worthy of death. Now he had judged rightly, and Nathan then took that judgment further and says, thou art the man. And this is how Jesus also treated this man here. You see, man can rightly reason within his mind, but he doesn't understand or realize that oftentimes he's speaking contrary to his own heart. We can make rational judgments with our mind rightly, and yet our heart is totally apart from it. And Jesus here says, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? As if he hadn't seen her. But what he was saying is, now take this woman for instance. I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. This was customary for visitors, especially honorable guests, if they were received into a house, that their feet were washed. Either the man of the house would send his servant to wash the visitor's guests, because they walked with sandals like people often walk with today, and their feet get dusty. And that was customary and common to wash their feet as they entered into the house. And if he was an honorable guest, the man of the house, in respect, would himself wash their feet. As Jesus did, washed the disciples' feet. And he said, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Jesus was not received even in outward respect in this Pharisee's house. He was not given a holy kiss, which was a means of greeting that are common among God's children. They greet one another. In those days, they greeted with a holy kiss, but that has changed. But the custom is still remains. The greeting that we use today when we greet with God's peace is the same as their greeting with a holy kiss at that time. That's how Judas came to kiss Jesus, and he betrayed him with an holy kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. The oil that was used to anoint his head indicates a love and compassion and words of comfort and consolation and whatever when a visitor is received with courtesy and treated respectably and served is the same thing. She had anointed his feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. His judgment was indeed right, but now he had judged his own heart. How much had he received forgiveness for? He didn't need any forgiveness. How could he have a love within his heart toward Jesus or toward God when there's no need of God's forgiveness? How can there be any love within a person's heart toward God or toward Christ if you don't need his forgiveness, his compassion, or his mercy? If you just need him as a patchwork to help you to better your Christianity here on this earth, then how can there truly be a love toward him? But if Jesus is the only difference, the difference and the only difference between you obtaining eternal life and salvation or spending eternity in hell, as we heard of already this morning, then there is love toward him. There is love in the heart of a sinner toward the Savior, as this woman also had. And he turned to her and said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. What a blessed message that was to her. She heard it in the house of Simon, a Pharisee, but she heard it from the words of Jesus, from the mouth of Jesus. And it went directly to her heart, and she was able to rejoice, I'm sure, and be glad, and go away from that place, perhaps no longer shedding tears of sorrow and sadness, but maybe tears of joy and gladness because of what she had received. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't refrain from going to the house of the Pharisee, but this Simon the Pharisee had no need of him, no need of what Jesus had to offer. And therefore his relationship with Jesus was no better than it was before, even having Jesus in his own house. And sad to say, that's how it is often in this world, being so close and yet so far in a person's relationship with Christ, all because there is no need within one's heart. There is no need of his forgiveness, his grace, and his mercy. But where there is a need, Jesus is able to supply that need and bring joy where there is sorrow, bring happiness where there is sadness, bring peace and comfort where there is unrest within one's soul. That's what Jesus is able to bring to those who need it. But to those who have no need, what can he do? There he was. There was Jesus in this house of the Pharisee. I'm sure if Simon had really examined his own heart and said, I've lived a good life and I've tried to do all my best, but something is still missing. What is it in my life that I am lacking? Perhaps the outcome would have been different. But he had no lack within his life, within his heart. And therefore, even Jesus being with him at his own table, that's perhaps the last time that they would be together on the face of this earth. We pray unto God and we need to turn unto God and pray, search me and try me and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way within me. And if there is, again, as we have heard, if there is one who is troubled and burdened with sin, don't believe the enemy of the soul who says this is not the time and the place. Because when the time and the place does come, Jesus might not be there. And that would indeed be a sad situation, would it? Would it not? If the time and the place that the devil says is somewhere in the future and not now, and that time and place comes, and certainly if anywhere, it will be at the time of a person's death, the time of their departure from this life, maybe on a sick bed, maybe lying in an accident and taking the last gasp of breath, the breath of life. And accidents don't happen just to old people, they happen also to young people and teenagers and so forth. Maybe the time and the place would be then, but Jesus is not there. That would be sad, wouldn't it? It would be very unfortunate. But where Jesus is, where I am, he says, there shall my servant be. And where Jesus is found, there is found his church. There is found his kingdom. There is found forgiveness of sins for penitent sinners, for those who are sorry for their sins. There is grace and mercy and forgiveness. And there is eternal joy. We heard of Gary speaking of an aunt of his who had that grace. What a blessing, even at the very last moment, even at the very last moments of life, when the need is there and one's heart is turned toward God, God finds a way to make known. God sees to it that such a soul can hear, especially one who knows where living Christianity is, where the kingdom of God is to be found. Maybe at the end of a telephone line, maybe the next door or wherever, but where the kingdom of God is, where one can hear with his own ears that my sins, like Jesus said to her, thy sins are forgiven. Jesus says the same, even today, to penitent sinners, thy sins are forgiven. And because Jesus is there, we can say, in his name and through his shed atoning blood, sins are forgiven. And that blessed message, received in a needy heart, brings joy and gladness. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We heard this morning that while Aho has a growth on his bladder, and it could be cancerous, so remember our brother Walter and Karen in your prayers. Lord, be with them. Well, thank you, Tareed. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we want to thank you for your prayers and words of comfort during our time of sorrow. The meals, groceries, the visits, and the collection were very much appreciated. Words cannot express our thankfulness to you, but we pray that our Heavenly Father will reward each one of you as he sees fit. We covet your prayers as we begin the walk without Mom, but we know that one day we will be with her again, as this is a promise for all those who trust and believe in God. Love and God's peace, Sonny Lauka and family. Ashburnham is having special services this coming up Friday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 and 2. And their guest speaker will be Scott Niematello. We received a letter from the Eastern Mission. Afternoon at Harborside at 3 o'clock, and then the service this evening at 7. Then Wednesday evening there'll be the Bible study at 7:30, and Thursday our regular service at 7:30, and then next Sunday, Sunday school at 9:15 with our service at 10:30 and 7. And we'll close with 4:32 from the Lodge Book. Also, I wanted to mention, just as representing the congregation, thank Jim Hill. He came yesterday and striped our parking lot, so thanks, Jim.
time for his word.